Rob Parsh. Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 509. My name is William Kuntz, and joined by, as always, by my friend Anna Hummel.
Hello.
Hi. Why are you
and
so
thank
weird?
Thank you for adjusting the time for today's chat. I very much appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem at all. We ended up having to record a little early on Wednesday, hence no live stream, but we're going to upload it. So what I'm going to do, Anna, and I guess this is a good time to announce the 2024 changes. A lot of changes happening in 2024. This program, no different. So as opposed to releasing the YouTube videos, if you miss the live stream, I put it behind a, not a paywall, but behind a, I schedule the video to be released at the same time as the podcast. So you can't go to YouTube and watch it early and skip the podcast. The podcast and video version will be released at the same time. However, if you're around Wednesdays at 7 p.m., normally, I know next week we're going to be affected by that too because it's Valentine's Day.
No, not next week. It's the following week.
Okay. Thank you. So the following week after that, we'll have a pre-recorded version again. So if you don't see the live stream on YouTube replay, it will be available that Sunday at midnight, along with the audio-only podcast, which you should get. Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff. HMB Radio, all one word. Hotel Mike Bravo Radio. Subscribe to it. Share it with a friend. Give it 5 stars. And I definitely appreciate that very much. So I got to see you this weekend in person.
I know. It was great. I saw your, not your girl's new place, but your new place, which is her old / current place.
Yeah.
Dude, awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
Way better than I thought it was going to be, honestly.
I tell you, my favorite thing about it is it doesn't have black mold in it. That's very important to me.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's a good feng shui, is no mold. Unlike this this donut right here.
Uh-huh.
Don't make fun of me. We like to get protein donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the mold on it?
No, I can't. Mold. It does look like something
dots on it.
Yeah. Little white dots.
That's mold.
That's mold.
Yeah. The last one we opened was green. I had a really uncomfortable realization, Will, that I feel like I need to confess to you.
Please.
I've been unknowingly living a lie.
Hmm.
Yes.
Is this where you come out as gay? Are you going to do this on the podcast?
No.
Okay.
No.
Next week, maybe.
Not that. Perhaps next week. Okay. Yes, I know. I'm like one of the only people that had to come out as straight to my parents because they had some suspicions. I've been telling people and pretending to live the life of a vegetarian.
Oh, interesting.
Well, recently I found out that some of the protein bars that I've been consuming on a, I don't want to say a daily basis, but multiple times per week, either have A, collagen, not vegetarian, mm-hmm. or B, gelatin, not vegetarian, no. or sometimes both. And I've been eating this stuff all the time. Maybe you can even see behind me all those boxes up there. I bought probably about 3 boxes of protein bars and whatnot. Was it yesterday, the day before? All of it had collagen or gelatin in it. And now I'm just starting to read the ingredients because usually at the bottom it'll say contains milk, soy, nuts, you know?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's vegetarian.
Right.
Collagen is not. Gelatin is not. So I have been consuming meat products now the whole time.
My entire life.
And just claiming that I was a vegetarian. Just putting that on my label. Vegetarian. No, I am not.
Oh my God. This is shocking. So, now you're Sorry. Your vegetarianism is not a moral stance though. It's just like meat's gross. Like you just don't like it. You're mentally ill. This is what it is.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not that bad. So now that I think gelatin and collagen, I'm not exactly sure what those things are. Gelatin is made from the bones, I believe, boiled bones of animals.
Either the bone or like the hoof of an animal, something like that. And collagen is taken from like, I think it's skin, bone, and nails.
Yep.
Usually of cows or pigs. And for example, like this right here, I would eat these frequently. Thick Crunch bars, my favorite. I love them. Bovine collagen. It even tells you it's from a cow.
And you,
it's even like bovine.
So wait
a minute. Why didn't I read this 5 years ago? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying, because you're pretty, I mean, you're pretty anal retentive regarding to what you put in your body. And I feel like you read a lot of labels. Did you not know what collagen and gelatin was? You assumed it was like veggie jelly or something?
No, but as you can see, there's like a, there's a lot of ingredients. So, you know, you go, well, protein, whey, nuts, soy, fine, you know, and that I just assumed, you know, that there would just be no animal products, because at the bottom it tells you, you know, manufactured in a plant that processes milk, soy, wheat, peanut, egg products. That's for allergies though.
Yeah.
Cause I'm dumb. But then when you read probably about 3/4 the way in, that's when it starts to, then you see the gelatin. Then you see the collagen.
So you said, I mean, the first ingredient on this, this list was protein. What do you think protein is?
Well, whey protein is from milk.
Yes, and that's okay. You're okay with that.
Yeah, that fits into the label of vegetarian. I mean, I eat a lot of yogurt. I eat eggs. I eat cheese. I eat butter.
Yeah,
I eat all those things. That's all fine. I'm not a vegan. I don't claim to be a vegan. But when you start eating, you know, the skin, bones, and nails...
Yeah, but you're not, though. I kind of feel like it's the same.
That's what collagen is.
Yeah, I know.
That's where they get it from.
I know, but I feel like that collagen is more like if you were to do one of those, I forget what they call them, proofs, it would be like collagen is basically like milk or butter. It's like a product that comes from the... Now, it's dead. That's the only difference, is that the animal, you can't get collagen from a live animal. But you said it's not a moral thing. You just think it's gross to eat a muscle tissue from an animal.
Yeah. It's not muscle tissue. I mean, it's skin, nails, and bone, which arguably might be worse. I don't know. That grosses me out. There's a gross factor to that as well. More so than anything, I'm having an identity crisis, because I said I was something, I lived the life of that something, turns out I've been living a lie and telling people lies, but unknowingly. So it's not like I'm trying to be deceitful, it's just I'm dumb, which is the theme of this podcast. I'm just really effing dumb.
We were having system issues earlier, troubles with Anna's equipment. And we determined
that you were just on mute on my computer, dude.
Like, yeah. And we determined, I asked her,
not working. You're like, restart. I'm like, okay.
We determined that this, the cause was Anna being an R word. I believe
user error.
User error. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me ask you this, now that you've been living this lie for, you know, decades now.
You know how good these are, Will?
Well, are you going to keep eating them? Number one, are you going to keep eating them?
No, now I can't.
Why? It's over.
Because I don't want to be like, I'm a vegetarian, but I eat collagen, my protein. And here's the thing, if I'm going to be a meat eater, then I might as well just go, like, do the chicken breast. You know what I mean? Like, all in on it.
Yes. So that was going to be my second question, because there's a wealth of things of, you know, our time spent on the Johnny B show. We spent a lot of time talking about you eating bacon, and you seemed intrigued, but also like, no way, I'm not going to do that. Or a nice, like, I feel like I want you to experience a nice, maybe not a ribeye steak, but like a nice filet mignon, a woman's steak, a nice filet.
And I think it's nice and lean. They were like gender specific.
Oh, yes. Oh, chicks really? Like filet mignons. Chicks like filet mignons. Guys are ribeye. Real men are ribeye. And then there's somewhere in between.
Filet mignons.
Who does?
Dr. Dan.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's a very expensive cut of meat, the filet, but it has no. I mean, well, that's not true. I mean, it's good. Filets are good. They're nice and tender usually, but it's a nice fatty ribeye with not tons of fat, but that little bit of fat that renders when you cook it offers so much more flavor potential there. So I prefer a nice ribeye. You can get like a T-bone, which is the filet connected to the ribeye, and you can double up. Now that's a real man steak, or you go both ways. It's kind of a bisexual steak a little bit.
I don't love this conversation, but because I feel like now you're just like, well, since you've been eating collagen your whole life, but you might as well just have a nice fatty steak.
But and of course,
thing, Will, you're probably not wrong.
Well,
I haven't been a vegetarian. I've been sitting here talking about being vegetarian and thinking I'm vegetarian, and people often being like, let me take you to this vegan place. I'm like, ooh, vegan. Meanwhile, I'm eating bones over here, eating dusty bones. It's cool, though. I mean, it is what it is.
You don't need to jump right into the fatty steak. You could have a nice filet. That's what I'm saying. There's no fat on there. It's just pretty much just meat.
I mean, fat, muscle, bone. I mean, does it really matter
collagen,
at that point?
Exactly. Collagen, gelatin. And does it really matter? Have you spoke to Phil about this? Your father, Phil?
Because
he's a vegan, right? Like, he's full tilt vegan.
He is a vegan, but he's also, is he an ethical vegan? Yes, but he's also a libertarian kind of a vegan. You know, he's like, he thinks it's the best way for everybody, but he's also, he knows that that's not how you get recruits. You don't get recruits by telling people that they're horrible and that they need to check themselves before they wreck themselves. Mm. So he just lets people do whatever. He may offer, you know, a fleeting statement, you know, just be like, oh, okay, have fun with your hypertension. You know, something like along those lines.
Passive aggressive.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But he, for the most part, just leaves people alone. But I don't know if you remember Eelgate about 5-6 months ago.
Sure, of course.
Yes. When I was accidentally served eel because I thought it was mushroom and I ate the whole thing feverishly. When I phoned my father and asked him for advice, he told me to, quote, let it go. That's what he said. He said, let it go. And I said, no. And then I got home. I was driving home. I called my dad. And when I got home, I'm not a Yelper, but I got a Yelp account and I burned that place to the ground with every review on Google reviews, Yelp reviews. I had the guy DMing me. I just felt like, and I just said, you just didn't do enough. Like, I was just like, no. You didn't comp my entire meal. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I'm still not over it, by the way, but here I am just eating gelatin and collagen, acting like I'm a vegetarian when I'm not. And to be honest with you, Will, I'm a little disappointed in myself. So,
so you're not going to jump right into, eating steak or anything like that. And I'm curious of what your father will say about this one. Obviously a one-timer you let go, but
can we call him?
Oh, can I call him? No, I don't think so. Well, that's a little disappointing. You didn't know. I wonder if he's worried about your health, though, since you've been eating collagen and your hypertension. And, you know, this kind of disproves his theory, though, because you've been eating animal products and you don't have hypertension.
I mean, it was probably in very, very small amounts. Mm-hmm. I think it's dose dependent, at least in most people's eyes. But
that whole bar is jelly. meat jelly. That's how you get their protein. You can't just have a little teensy teeny little bit. You can't just sprinkle a little collagen dust and then make a protein bar. It's got to be the whole dang thing.
Yeah, you know, Will, you might be right.
I am right.
I just feel like I have all these animals inside of me, and it feels gross, dude. It feels real gross.
Well, that's a sounder now. Thank you.
I'm ashamed, because usually I'm pretty thorough with this stuff, and I just missed the mark, you know? And maybe I stopped reading for a reason. Like, maybe it's that I liked these so much that I knew that if I kept reading, I was going to find something I didn't like.
Yeah.
So for years, I didn't, until all of a sudden I just was staring at the label and the collagen popped out and the gelatin popped out. And I went, Oh no. Now I've seen it.
Who,
you know, ignorance is bliss.
Who found it? Did you find it?
Well, what happened is Chris started buying like new stuff. And so I started reading the labels of the new stuff, and I'm like, oh, that has collagen, that is gelatin. I'd like eat one and then realize, then eat one and then realize, you know, it's like, why am I not reading the labels before? You know, this is like the man that farts first and then looks around second. It's like, no, look around and then let one go. But so the new stuff, I was like, okay, I can't eat that. And then I was like, you know what? I should probably read the stuff I eat all the time. And as good as these are, Will, these
got more.
These are the best things I've ever eaten in my life.
Barbells. Yeah, those are good. Those are good.
So good. Especially the cookies and cream one. OMG. Love them.
Let me tell you what I've been eating. Because, I mean, you saw me in person for the first time.
Collagen.
Yeah. Sorry. There it is. So here's my new diet. I'll tell you what it amounts to. So now I'm working this set schedule. I kind of like it now because I'm in a very strict regimen now, Monday through Friday. So I have a break at like 11 a.m. And then I have, this is probably kind of boring. I'm going to get through it quick. So I have.
By the way, I know this sounds insane. I love listening to people's daily routines.
Okay. You're sick in the head. Our listening audience is normal people.
Because it tells me so much about you and what you are prioritizing and your value system just by you walking me through your day. So okay. I love it.
All right. So I think you're going to be proud of me the first two thirds. I think you were going to be like, this is awesome. Okay. So without further ado, 11 a.m.
Well, walk me through the whole day. What time do you wake up?
7.
Okay.
7 a.m. Got a few hours, usually get some push-ups and whatever. And I can't run anymore because, I mean, I just can't get a run done in 2 hours. And I'm not getting up at 6 to run. It's just not happening. So I do my little push-ups, have some coffee or whatever. Then I log into work for a few hours. I got a break at 11, go downstairs. I get myself a little snack, which consists of a banana, a handful of nuts or chickpeas, roasted chickpeas, and a green juice drink, cold pressed juice. So that's my it's in a bottle.
Oh, okay.
It's like the soju's or something.
All right, I didn't know if you were like juicing some of the plants you got in your house. No.
Definitely not going that far. Then lunchtime. Lunch. Favorite time of the day.
What time?
About 1 p.m. Gonna work a few more hours. Then you get to enjoy a nice lunch. And I have a piece of fruit, which today was sumo citrus orange the past few days, which are very delicious. I love those. Today was an apple. And a little tub of cottage cheese, low fat cottage cheese. A whole tub, though. I don't know how many ounces that is.
I eat it by the tub, too.
It's like but it's not like a tub, like a big tub. It's like a little tub, you know, about that tall.
Yeah,
like
maybe 2 to 4 servings. Yeah.
Just kind of wrap your hands around it. And that's it. And then I go till dinner. And then I have dinner. Now, what that consists of can kind of change. Tonight, we're going to have a green curry chicken with some veggies and rice. So that's dinner.
Okay, who makes dinner in your house?
Julia has been making most of the dinners because I'm busy doing other stuff. So she's been cooking dinners, but I do it on the weekends. I like grill stuff or whatever. Now that's during a week. Weekends. I gotta be honest too. I don't know if you noticed, but I have not. I think I've been drinking every day. Still every day. It's not. I mean, I like it, but I thought it was going to slow down. And I think what I don't want to put it out in the ether because I'm afraid of this happening. I think I need a brutal hangover to get me off and give me a few days reprieve. But I think the cottage cheese and the cold pressed juice are keeping it away because I've been fine. I wake up in the morning and I'm fine.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you're a functional alcoholic, but you do drink a lot. And when you do anything enough, you get better at it. So I feel like your body can just handle it because you do it so frequently. Often.
I feel like now, I look red.
How much are you drinking a day? Like how much?
So I got a bottle right here.
I like how you keep the food downstairs, but you keep the alcohol within arm's reach.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to see. I would say probably a third. I can get through a third of a bottle in a night.
No, I know you can, but like, what are you doing every day?
Like a third of a bottle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's
I know. I know. I know.
It's a lot.
Well,
and not so much like calories wise, even because I don't even know what that would be.
Yeah, I'm curious too. I'm trying to find out how many ounces like this is.
It's real hard on your liver to process a lot of alcohol, and you need that liver.
All right, Dr. You know? Hummel. Yeah, no, I mean you're right. You're not wrong. I definitely understand. I don't know. I don't know. You know what is going to happen? I'm just stressed out right now. I'm getting used to a new schedule. You need something to take the edge off. And then, you know, in a couple weeks, I'll be back on the wagon, you know, just weekend drinker.
Let me ask you this. Are you accountability buddy boy or no? Does it help when you have, if like, for example, you and your girlfriend or you and I were like, okay, we're not drinking for a month. Does that help at all where you're like, you feel like you are accountable to somebody else to do something together, or you'll just like lie? And
I feel like I'd lie. Okay. I feel like I would lie and drink in the closet or something and then come out and be in a much better mood. I feel like I look really red right now on camera.
You do. But you look like you have the Asian glow.
But I think it's just a cheap lighting that I have. I bought a little light that clips onto the top of the TV because it was too dark before. But it was like $12 on Amazon. So it's not really high quality light.
I mean, I just see a newspaper clipping behind you and then just a beet red face. Man,
yeah, I look like I have John Daly face right now. I understand that. But I think it's a illusion. Because you saw me. Yeah, he's an alcoholic golfer. But you saw me on the weekend. So you know I'm not actually this color. You can confirm.
I can confirm you're not usually that color unless... You know, you're working out vigorously.
Yes.
Which I don't feel like you're doing right now.
No, I'm not. Well, yeah. Kind of, in a way.
It's like, you know what to do and what not to do. So it's like, at this point, you just go, okay. Like, I don't even know what to tell you. Because usually, like, I feel like my body wants to, like, give you advice.
Yep.
But you know the right answer.
Just
you do what you want to do, you know?
Yeah, just got to stop it. Well, I was kind of being tongue-in-cheek there because I said, you know, over the holiday, I was like, man, I'm boozing a lot. I'm drinking too much. And then the holidays came and went. I go, well, I'm starting a new job, you know, beginning of the year. Then I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to. Because I can't be hungover and be doing this job. I just don't get hangovers anymore. So I'm like, in the evenings, you know, I'm going through, and that's why I said, I'm going through new things, new experiences, new times. So, you know, take the edge off a little bit.
Let me ask you this, because I am not very good at drinking. And the last time that I drank quite heavily. We had I think I told you I ended up at the strip club. This happened about 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, middle of January. We had our big party for the Bubba Army royalty, and maybe I had, I don't know, anywhere between 8 to 9 drinks and a little other stuff. Ended up at the T bar and made it rain, got to lap dances, decided it was a very quick shift where I was having a great time, And then it was just like, I need to go home. And then I ordered an Uber. You know, I hopped over like a little wall, completely unnecessary. There was a ramp. I just was trying to show off or something. Thankfully landed on my feet, ran out to the Uber, was having a talk in my head about not throwing up in it. Ended up passing out. Uber driver wakes me up. You're home. I went, great. Open the door. I see Chris. He goes, how was your night? And I said, trash can, please. Trash can, please. And he gives me the trash can. I aggressively vomit. I'm derobing, getting ready for bed. Dollar bills. I wasn't on the poll, but somehow, you know, things got whatever. Maybe I was, instead of making it rain, it could have been possible that I just started putting those dollar bills in my own shirt because I'm of the Jewish variety, you know.
Sure.
So I don't know. But the next day I was very hungover. So I'm good for not drinking for the next 6 months.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I feel like I need. Just like a good week off. And I'm afraid to put this out in the ether like this because then it might actually happen. And then like with my new duties that I have, it would be really painful.
I mean, let me ask you this, because that I told that whole story to say that I'm not very good at drinking. When, for you, someone who drinks daily, like how drunk are you right now?
I just, this is like my first little bit here. It's a tiny little glass. So I just do little sips, you know?
Okay. But on any given night, will you get to like a 6? Like how drunk do you get?
Well, here's the thing. So once you know, I've been a 1, I've been a 2, I've been a 3, I've been a 4, I've been a 5, I've been a 6, I've been a 7, I've been an 8, I've been a 9, and I've been a 10 on the scale in my life. But now, particularly with, you know, this particular type, this, you know, whiskeys, you can kind of monitor it a little better. So I go, okay, I'm like a 5, 5.5 right now. I might be able to do a 6, but I got to stop at 6 because I don't want to get too sloppy. So you could kind of monitor it and not get too, you know, not barfing in an Uber. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you just know what your limit is.
And B, it's not diluted with anything.
Correct. Yeah. So it's just a little sipper. Just little sips here and there.
And that helps you, like, how are you able to be productive? Because I am not a productive drunk. Like, it's hard for me to pay attention. That's why I really don't drink at comedy shows, because when I start drinking, I like want to like dance and like be wild. It's really hard for me to get drunk and then listen or focus. Mm-hmm. How does drinking help you like get through your work day? Like
it doesn't get me through my work. I don't drink during the day. I don't drink at work. No, I'm not.
Like, are you on a webcam?
Well, yeah, but this isn't work. I mean, like, this isn't work. I mean,
No. I'm sorry. I thought you were waking up at 11 or at 7. And then, you know, once you started work, you started drinking.
No, I wish I could.
You're fine.
I wish I could. I think if I could, particularly this job of being on the phone, I would be much better just talking to people and not being so awkward. And I think it'd be great. You. A nice social lube. I wish there was like, maybe I could take like GHB or something at work.
Yeah, it's date rape. Yeah, date rape yourself.
Just a little bit. Exactly. Microdose GHB. It's like being wasted, but you don't get a hangover is what my understanding is. I don't know how accurate that is, though.
So what is the solution to this? Should you just drink instead of a third, maybe 2/3? And then hopefully kind of get that disgust mechanism juice in. And so you want to not drink for a while or?
Nah.
Okay.
The solution is, unfortunately, a brutal hangover that will reset my system. I think I need to do it, though. I need to stop where I know what my limit is and keep going and then just take a day and be extraordinarily hungover. I can't do it during the weekdays now. I'm going to make sure I do it on the weekend and just be out of commission for the day. And then I felt so bad that I need a few days, or I just can't. Well, there's two strategies. You could drink more and drink through the hangover until you're good again.
Hair of the dog.
The hair of the dog, which is the vacation way of doing it. Or you just go, okay, I'm going to take this opportunity and just dry out. So, and then you just keep it rolling. So you go, okay, I got, it's kind of like being, like in AA or something where you go, day one, here we go. And then day one, day two. And then you just go, I could have a sip of Ruski right now, but you know what? I'm just going to keep it rolling to day three.
Yeah.
And then you just keep going. And so you get to day five. Now you might start over on the weekend, but you also might go, you know what? Maybe I'll just keep this roll going. That's what I did with weed when I smoked weed.
Mm.
I took a break and then I started doing stuff and then I just stopped smoking weed. Now I can't smoke weed anymore.
Yeah.
I just literally can't. Yeah. I mean, I can, but I don't enjoy it.
Yeah, I get you.
And I've had a few times where I've been like, this is fine, but I'd rather have a drink.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah. So that's the key. Just, you know, drink yourself into near death and then you can start over.
Yes. Yes.
We're in agreement.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, it sounds like you feel like you should want to stop drinking, but you don't want to stop drinking. You know, you're not like, I hate this. It's ruining my life. I can't keep a job. Like, everything's in line.
Yeah, I'm great.
You're fine. You're drinking. You know you shouldn't be drinking as much as you are, but you're like, it's not really doing any damage yet.
I drink like a World War II vet is how I drink. But like a lot of them, yes, many were abusive to their families and did terrible things, beat their kids and stuff. But there was a lot of good men too that just saw a lot of bad things overseas and came home and shut their mouth. Yeah, just shut up. Didn't talk to anybody. Barely talked to their wife, you know, they just did their thing and they went to work every day, hung over in many cases.
You didn't do no wars though. So,
well, I fought
culture wars. Okay.
Yeah. I fought wars online. That's what I was going to say So, I mean, in a way I have, in a way,
you're a veteran of the culture war.
Yeah. But those guys, they shut their mouth. They came home after work, performed at least good enough to not get fired. And then they had their children and their wife there. And they said, boy, I could use a drink. And then they poured a drink when they got home and they drank, you know, a third to a half a bottle or whatever it was. And they passed out and then they went to work again. And that's when America was great. And that's what I want to bring back.
Make it America great again. Is that what you're suggesting?
I would just like to cheers to that and say, let's make America great again.
Woo!
Well, that was phenomenal, Otta. I had some Taylor Swift stuff, but I can save that for later.
We can get into it a little bit. Maybe you want to do 15 more minutes?
I mean, this is not a live stream, so let's do it.
I'm really enjoying this.
Good. I felt like because this was your first week of, well, not your first week, but you had texted me earlier and go, I can't do the stream. I'm hosting, you know, Bubba this week and I need some time. So we agreed to do this.
I wanted to get it done earlier. Last night I went to bed at 9. The night before I went to bed at 8. So I'm just trying to stay on a consistent schedule of going to bed early because, I've been hosting the main show, which I think has been going relatively well. But I feel like I'm pretty good at concealing my panic attacks. So
that's good.
Maybe it seems like everything's fine and flowing and it's cool, but there's a constant like panic setting that I feel when I'm hosting someone else's show.
Yeah.
Especially on that level, you know, on any given platform, you're seeing the thousands of people that are watching and you know that you're live in six cities and, you know, people are in Bubba's ear and you just don't want to disappoint. You don't want to disappoint your team or your boss or yourself. So there's just been a lot of, a lot of stress that I've kind of taken on and tried to just, you know, because I'm of the belief where, like, even if I'm freaking out, I want my team to see that they're following someone's lead who knows what they're doing, or at least looks like they know what they're doing. Cause otherwise they start panicking and then everything just kind of descends into chaos. So I'm trying to be strong mentally for the team. And I feel like the only way that I can kind of alleviate those nerves is just to be super prepared. So.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's good. That's good. I mean, you could just go in there and wing it. And a lot of people do every day that have jobs in radio. And I respect that.
Say that. I even made a Cat AMO reference about not being prepared. I'm like, what do you think I am, Cat AMO?
Many such cases regarding that statement there. Anyway, Taylor Swift, your thoughts about her. Do you have any strong ones?
About her as a person or her... This is how I feel about the whole, we talked about that today a little bit. This is how I feel about it. I'm very intrigued by the idea of celebrity, but I feel like this sort of celebrity I haven't seen before. Just the global influence this person has and how society, our country, the world seems to be obsessed with her in every aspect of her life, whether it be, will she endorse Biden? Is she going to be shown 15 times at the game? Who is she dating? What is she wearing? And by proxy, she makes other people famous. You know, I didn't know who Travis Kelce was. Now I know who his sister-in-law is. Oh, it's Jason's wife's daughter. That's who it is, who is related to Taylor Swift now. So it's interesting to see this sort of effect where the people around her are becoming famous just by close proximity to her. But I guess that's a long-winded way to say that, you know, I got no problems with this chick. I find the idea of celebrity intriguing, and that sort of level of influence is just mind-blowing. So
yeah, it's I mean, it's happened before. I mean, like the Beatles are coming to mind, like Beatlemania. I wasn't alive for that, but it seemed like, you know, the videos.
But now you have social media. Don't you think that adds an extra element of?
Yeah, I do.
You know,
it's influence. A little different because it's harder, right? I mean, it's harder to gain that type of influence, or it's easier in some ways and harder in some ways. Back in the Beatles days, they were kind of just reliant on, you know, the news, getting interviewed. Concerts.
Yeah,
the radio, like if they played them or not. And, you know, there was always people behind the scenes that would kind of push, and there still is, you know, push what the next big thing is on the masses. And now there still is that. But then there's also like this, you know, free world. So I don't even know how free it is on the Internet where you can kind of get popular yourself without necessarily being a celebrity already credentialed by those men in the dark room that are smoking cigarettes or cigars or whatever. You're kind of able to do it on your own. I think, I don't even know if that's true, but I mean, like, there's people who have just started posting YouTube videos and then gotten, you know, super famous. I'm thinking of like Mr. Beast, who I found out who that was semi recently, but he's the most popular YouTuber around and he just does goofy things. And has made a great career for himself. And then, you know, obviously with musicians in particular, there are a lot of great musicians out there. I know a lot of great musicians out there. You know, is Taylor Swift better than some of them? I don't know. In many ways, I'd argue they're worse. I mean, you could find her raw vocals online on YouTube. In fact, she sued a bunch of people for that. But, you know, she's singing, she's dancing at the same time. She's got a back and like it's a performance. You can't be a pop star and have that sort of cardio to actually be able to sing like you can in a studio. I'm sure she can sing, but
yeah. I mean, do you somehow expect that talent and fame are perfectly correlated? I mean, obviously not.
Obviously not. No.
Yeah. I just think it's a lot of things with her. Talent certainly is one of them. She started really young. Her path to fame was perfect in the sense that she didn't get right into pop music. She went the country route, which is a niche, right? Not, I don't know a lot of country artists, but then you get big enough for that, you know, category of music. And then you can go to the pop, popular music, pop music. and make it there. And so she's ascended just beyond any sort of, I mean, I heard you, I'm sure you heard like, Shannon Sharp talking about, I think it was with Ocho Cinco. I believe that is a player of some sort.
Mm-hmm. And Chad Johnson.
And Ocho Cinco was saying, oh, Beyonce is just as influential as Taylor Swift. And Shannon Sharp was like, no, she ain't. I don't think so.
Not anymore. I feel like as far as influence goes and just, I mean, there are a lot of people, I would say Beyonce is probably number two in that realm. But there's a lot of, well, there's a lot of men that like Beyonce too. I don't know. She is a powerhouse like we haven't seen. And I wonder how much of that is the guys in the dark room with, you know, cigarettes that are, you know, kind of steering what is and what is going to be popular and what's not. Because she wasn't like organic online. I mean, she went through American Idol, I think, and she was a loser on there.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Wasn't she on American Idol?
Maybe. Actually, I don't know. I don't think so. I thought she was a girl from Pennsylvania that was like singing in coffee shops and kind of just got a lucky break with an agent or something like that. I watched VH1 Behind the Music back in like 2012, so I don't really fully remember. But let me ask you this, because this is kind of an interesting thought. Do you think that part of Taylor Swift's mass amount of appeal and success is actually the fact that she didn't sexualize herself, right? So it's not like she's a Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion where mothers are like, don't listen to that. Taylor Swift is PG, maybe even G, and moms are comfortable sharing that music with their daughters. And you got to think Taylor Swift has been around for like 20 years. She's pretty much my age. She's 34. I'm 36. So moms that are my age grew up with Taylor Swift and now their daughters are growing up with Taylor Swift. So now you've dominated like the market of 4 to 40 year olds who can share this experience together. It's now becoming intergenerational. Whereas when you have stars like even Beyonce, who is great and stuff, but her music is very sexualized. The way she dresses is very sexualized. The motifs and the themes of her music are very sexualized, you know, grounded on that wood, grind. It's, you don't maybe want to hear a 4-year-old singing that. Whereas with Taylor Swift, you know, anything goes, nothing's off limits. You know, you got everything. She's on the pop music. She's on, you know, AC. She's on oldies, like whatever. She can kind of be the dentist. Elevator music. She's just so multidimensional. Do you think that her not sexualizing herself has actually helped her career?
My feeling is that it's a marketing strategy that they had that demographic and they just went for another demographic to sell the product to. Because you're right. She gave performances on American Idol. I just looked up, but she was never a contestant. I could have swore that she was a contestant that didn't make it, and then they signed her anyways and then turned her into a superstar. But she signed a deal at 14 in like 2004.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, in a way, I guess somebody found her. Like, there's people who make these decisions to go, we're going to put a bankroll behind you and try to make it. There's people that they pick and put money behind them that don't achieve that sort of success that Taylor Swift did.
Right.
There was somebody who made a decision. I think they're called A&Rs. That go, I saw this kid. Our dad might let us bang her, and then we'll sign. I'm just kidding, but hopefully. But somebody with a budget goes, I saw this person performing. I think they're really good. Let's sign them to a label, to our deal, and then put some money behind her, buy her some billboards, promote her album, get her on the late night shows, get her on the radio, and maybe it'll hit. And there's a lot of people that they do that for that don't make it. And there's I wonder what the percentage is that they do, but she became this conglomerate, success.
I mean, how else do you get in the system, in the industry? I mean, are you suggesting that like there's some people that are just completely like homegrown and they don't need to be discovered? I feel like that's only even achievable in the age of social media with like SoundCloud and stuff, I guess. But you really need that push from people that have money.
It seems like even particularly in the music business, that even, yes, if you find some sort of success on online, that eventually it just is going to make sense to sign with a corporation where they can really bring you up to that. You know, they just have the resources to get you up many levels from there. You could probably, there's probably a lot of artists that go, no thanks, I'm making, you know, enough money, I'm good, but they're not household names. You know, you don't know who those people are. It just depends on like what you're getting at, like what you want. Do you want the $100 million mansion, or do you want a nice house, you know, and work for yourself? And, you know, you've achieved, I think success is, you know, can you support yourself doing what you love doing? But there's a whole other level that you got to go through, you know, dark places potentially in order to really get there. And some people choose that route because they really want the really nice lifestyle. And it's hard to fault them for that.
Yeah, I certainly don't. You know, this whole idea of selling out or, you know, just taking oodles of money to pump out a product that maybe isn't really genuine. Maybe when I was younger and more idealistic, I would frown upon that. But now I'm like, man, get that cash, because you know what you get when you get money is freedom. And you know what? I like freedom to just do whatever the hell you want. And Taylor Swift has got a lot of FU money. She can just do whatever she wants. And that's true freedom.
She lives
above the law. She certainly lives above the law.
Well, she lives above the cloud. She has a private jet. So, I mean, like you're doing something right there, but like, what do you, yes, there's some freedom in that, but I'm sure that she is very constrained by that lifestyle too. And like, who knows? I'm not trying to insinuate that she is doing this or anything, but who knows who has her on speed dial, where some person that we've never heard of who has horns coming out of the top of their head, and she has to perform an act on him for her once a month act, you know, in order to keep getting what she's getting. Because as we've learned, there's a lot of monsters out there. Harvey Weinstein's there's a lot of demons out there in these business, and because power corrupts, you know, so there's a lot of people who abuse their power. Vince McMahon is another one who just got, I wish we had time to talk about that. That was a big one too. It's just, basically what I'm trying to say is there's a conspiracy coming out there that Taylor Swift has gained so much power and so much influence over the American populace that she's going to be able to sway the presidential election in 2024. And I hate these articles because they make it sound like it's totally kooky, but there is some weight behind it.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say it's crazy, and my comeback was going to be like, I don't think it is.
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. Vivek Ramaswamy, the former presidential candidate, now endorsed Donald Trump, said, I wonder who's going to win the Super Bowl next month. And I wonder if there's a major presidential endorsement coming from an artificially culturally propped up couple this fall. That is a conspiracy in a way. Yes. I mean, saying that's the case. But then there's this article from the Daily Mail that I saw, which is this. You can see that, right? Oh, no, you can't see it. Oh, crap. I clicked the wrong button. This is what happens, folks. Here we go.
It's okay.
Taylor Swift could sway the 2024 election outcome. New poll finds with one fifth, that's 20% of voters likely to back candidate endorsed by the singer. 18% of voters say they're more likely or significantly more likely to vote for a candidate endorsed by Taylor Swift. The elections will see 8 million new voters in the U.S. electorate, and a total of 41 million Gen Z voters, many of whom are influenced by celebrities, including the biggest celebrity of them all, Taylor Swift. So, I mean, like, yeah, it's a conspiracy, but it's very plausible by this.
Well, what do they mean? What do they mean by voters? Do they mean people of voting age, or do they mean people who are already registered to vote?
That's a good question. I don't know how much difference it would make necessarily. Like, I don't know.
I think it would make a difference, because here's what I'm thinking. I don't think she can sway anybody from right to left who's like definitively like a right person or someone who's maybe a free thinker like you and I, probably of the libertarian variety. But I think she could sway a lot of non-voters to vote.
Yeah.
People who are not interested in politics, people who are not interested in anything. They're people, I hate to say this, people kind of like my sister who are into celebrity gossip and who's Taylor's dating and, oh my God, did you see the Kardashian? That kind of person, I feel like if they're wrapped up in this as much as we all are, and we're not even Swifties, then I think those people could be swayed to go from non-voter to voter. Like if she's telling people register to vote and then she's like, I want you to vote for Biden, I could see a shift. I could certainly see a shift.
Yeah. And I saw, I can't find it, of course, but I did see something about how one part of the president's current president's motivation and drive for his campaign is to try to get celebrity endorsements, which I think that, you know, presidents have always been trying to do that. It's very effective, but getting this one in particular. And to your point, there was a lot of people who did not know anything about football who are now have, you know, Travis Kelce jerseys and have, you know, those Barstool made a great shirt, Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team, you know, and it had the Chiefs colors in it. So there is something to be said for that. People who didn't take an interest in sports are now like, I'm a rabid Chiefs fan.
I hear it from people on the show where Seth, who is a football fan, his daughter will come in the room when he's watching football and he goes, is this Taylor Swift's boyfriend playing? You know, she's six. So yeah. She knows what's going on because her mom's interested in what's going on. You know what I mean? So this definitely has opened a lot more eyes to the NFL that otherwise wouldn't be interested at all. I almost wish I was a Taylor Swift fan because I would love to love football. I still don't, but it seems like now they have a whole new demographic of people who are interested in watching the game for not the game.
But this this is a problem too, just with democracy in general. That's such a buzzword now, democracy and what it means and how we must preserve it. But we're seeing that could easily be hacked by people who don't care about the political system that would take advantage of a pop star that they really like and wanting to, I don't know what they would get from voting for a candidate, but clearly that's happening now where people are interested in it with the Chiefs. They could very well easily just go, oh, I like Donald Trump or I like Joe Biden. I like Michael Rechtenwald. Michael Rechtenwald, the libertarian candidate, should be seeking out Taylor Swift's endorsement if he was smart. Because that could really change things.
I'm trying to think about what you said and how I feel about it. Because, it can be easily hacked. But also, I don't know, man. I believe in liberty and freedom. And if you want to vote for someone because a celebrity who sings about love songs in a castle is telling you to vote that way, you know, is it the best thing for the country? Probably not. But, because I put freedom and liberty and free will on such a pedestal, I'm just like, well, if that's the will of the people, then fine.
Well, that's why you lose. And that's why the country loses, because that is the motto.
What's the defense then? You have to ask people why are you voting today and who it pressured you or influenced you. And if you say Taylor Swift, then you can't vote.
I think it just shows that, you know, it's this whole whenever the man started talking about democracy, now we must preserve democracy. I went, maybe democracy isn't such a good thing. I'm not sure it's a good thing because it's easily hackable in situations like this where potentially you have a voter base of 20%. That's a huge number. I mean, usually elections are razor thin. They've always been, you know, 5-6 points at most separate the two candidates. And now you got somebody who just throws an endorsement out there and all of a sudden they're going to be getting, you know, they're going to be just stomping the other guy by 20%.
You got to think Biden is really struggling with young voters. And who is Taylor Swift appealing to?
He's suffering with
young voters. So, yeah.
And so is Trump, for that matter. So, I mean, they're fighting for that endorsement.
That's not going in that direction. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's not going to go for Donnie, but it could, you know, if she throws right behind Joey, maybe we'll have another 4 years. Maybe then we'll have to steal it this time. Just kidding. Come on. I'm just kidding.
Jokes. It's funny because if you think about how that plays out, you know, you think like, well, maybe Taylor Swift would be responsible for the next world war. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be in the history books.
Yeah, in a way.
Like, Taylor Swift told her followers to, you know, vote for Joe Biden, and he led us straight into World War III. So,
well, it's kind of a move, too, where, like, these guys like Vivek and are, like, daring her, like, don't do it because you don't want to prove me right type of thing, too. So it is kind of like a weird chess move. Like, even if she wanted to, you still can't do it, but...
Yeah, it is bizarre.
All right, that's the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you, Anna Hummel. Thank you out there checking us out. Check out willsyoutube.com and hmbradio.com, HMB Radio on your favorite podcast app. There's extra content that goes up there that's not available on Radio St. Pete. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. For Anna Hummel, my name's Will Koontz. Talk to you soon. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.